Well, I was reading on the wiki. We could talk about some of the things written there.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. I have some questions for Pila. Mitz is here?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, Pila, if you, I've done what they call a macrocosmic orbit before, where you're using, you're also going through the arms and legs. I was wondering if you had done that one before as well, if you had some thoughts about how that compares with kind of like this simplified microcosmic orbit that you described in your wiki piece.
I'm sorry, but I didn't understand the question. Could you please type it in the chat? Yes, I think I understand your question. It's about the distribution of chi. Yeah, it's not nerdy at all. It's a very interesting question. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you. Those are complexities of specialization. Acupuncture and the various schools of martial arts and other parts of arts and skills that relate to the distribution of qi in the body all have basically looked at the same picture. They start at the macro with the structure that's essentially similar, and then they bring it down to the micro in ways that are pertinent to what they're trying to do. So, for example, in acupuncture, the meridians serve particular purposes to help somebody's health. And in Tai Chi, you might feel a similar meridian, but it might have a different purpose. It's wonderful, I think, to be able to appreciate how those things work, but it's so detailed and it's so much in excess of the ability to discuss just in general terms that I'm not sure that it would be helpful to go too much further than these comments. If you think I haven't answered the idea that you brought up well enough, so please proceed with a further elaboration. Have you tried acupuncture before, Del? They essentially fit together in terms of the distribution of qi. So I also have had benefits from acupuncture, and it's just that the idea of how energy flows in the body is the common denominator, and that's how they fit together, that there's the idea of an internal energy flowing in the body, and it isn't essentially the same as the nerves in the Western science, but it's very close. And that's probably about the best way to sum it up.
Hi, one last chance.
Hope you stay on, okay, Arabella. Have a good day, Pilar.
Thank you.
Bye, Pilar.
Bye-bye. See you next time with cleaner teeth.
Okay. Actually, my father picked up a hand acupuncture that dates back to one of the older dynasty in Korea. Anyway, it concentrates on the hands only, and the placement of locations on your hands corresponds to other parts of the body, and it's quite amazing actually, by massaging certain parts of your hand can alleviate symptoms in other parts of body.
It sounds similar to reflexology of the legs.
Yes. It's quite similar.
Interesting. I never heard of it in the hands.
I think there's a local one, Korean one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure Dao is being modest. he had to actually go through quite intense training, although it was a hobby for him. He actually learned it to help my mother. I think he spent about 3 years learning it intensely to get the qualification to practice. He didn't obviously open the practice as such, but yeah.
Very interesting. And did it work on your mother?
Yeah. it's very nice, actually, to see it when they're together, you know, practicing on each other's hands, in a way.
Uh-huh.
It's quite funny.
Lovely. Amazing. I think I need somebody to do that to me right now. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
So I understand, actually, I never actually practiced Qigong or Tai Chi before when I was back in Korea, and I didn't really believe or really experienced it until father showed me how each part of the palm and the back of the hand corresponds, and I could feel when he, you know, pressed certain part on my hand, I could feel it on different parts of the body, and obviously it's not just, you know, mumbo jumbo. I used to think that it is, but
how interesting, because again, I mentioned the feet, but somebody once told me even the ear, for example, corresponds to various other parts of the body.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
And I think that's one reason why, I don't know, I may be wrong, when some people go for Chinese acupuncture to stop smoking, they insert some sort of, you know, acupuncture needle in the ear. Has everybody else gone, Gaia?
No, they're all here.
Yeah. I had an interesting thought even today about the issue of things like acupuncture on, and, for example, when I listen to some podcasts on meditation, on techniques, then it's often about breathe in your hand or feel the tension in your hand, and something like that. And when it's about acupuncture, then you just get more aware of those zones that are supposed to be where the acupuncture is supposed to help, for example. So you you even get more aware of those regions of your body. And so sometimes I really think, is it maybe possible that we trick ourselves to get more aware, to get more awareness, and then to even feel better because we just learn to hear to our body more? There was a thought I had the last couple of days, actually.
I think it's very difficult to tell, although there must be something serious, a lot of serious stuff behind it. I have been for acupuncture many times, but because it's a very, very long process, it's very difficult to tell whether you get better, at least in my case, whether you get better from the acupuncture or whether you get better because it's prolonged over time.
Yeah, but I can understand what Yakuza says, though. I'm sure sometimes, you know, like people, what is it called in English? Placebo effect?
Placebo effect.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure people do that.
Mm.
So is everyone able to hear? I just wanted to check that.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear.
So, I would say that, I mean, of course, meditation, there's so many different schools and approaches, and they all have quite different goals as well as theoretical basis. Sorry, the TV came on. So, yes, but I don't think, at least when it comes to Buddhist approaches, which is what I'm most familiar with, there's definitely a very, the meditation is not really just about, you know, being connected to your body or feeling your body. I mean, there's a lot more involved there. And it has more to do with, I mean, that's a part of it, but it has a lot to do with other things such as, kind of your mental constructs, your experience of thoughts, and your experience of time and space and things of that nature, where there can actually really be a very dramatic shift that's possible in how you experience your personal reality, which is really not I don't think really can be described as a placebo effect. Although there's, and you know, of course, there have been neurological studies that show various objectively observable effects as well.
You mean the effects can also be on various levels, or like a ripple in a pond?
Well, for example, you can measure improved ability to do various mental tasks. And there's been a bunch of research on that, including, I don't really recall at the top, off the top of my head, but things like pattern recognition tasks and other cognitive tasks can be objectively improved by meditation of various kinds. And, of course, subjectively, I would say that it has a big impact on a lot of aspects of, you know, cognitive processes as well as body energy integration, which can be more observed when you're doing something like qigong or when you're doing martial arts or things of that nature.
Probably also helps, you know, a great deal, even Tai Chi does, to put the body somehow back in contact with itself.
I mean, the Taoists have a different, you know, Taoists tend to focus more on the, on sort of more basic aspects of being, like just your energy, your mind energy body integration is very concrete things. Buddhists tend to be more theoretical, so in some ways their approach, although I think they're very much very similar and they overlap quite a bit, but Buddhists tend to focus more on cognitive errors that people make, systematic cognitive mistakes, which can be ameliorated by meditative practices, which then, of course, have body energy integration implications too, because those habits are not just mental habits, they're actually physical and energetic habits as well.
It's interesting what you just said. They're not just mental habits, they're physical as well, because they probably help a great deal to merge together both the physical and the mental.
I think it's necessary to do that.
Exactly.
Sorry, Mitsu, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with that. I mean, even these categories of physical and mental, you know, can be, and they, I think in some ways you can sort of even go beyond those categories. They're sort of, they seem to be these distinct areas of our experience, but I think both Taoists and Buddhists tend to, you know, see that as maybe just an approximate view. In reality, they're not separable.
That's the one of the in a way mysterious points to me. I mean, I do sometimes see that body and mind are not really separate, but it's not easy to see that all the time, if you know what I mean.
Yes, and it's a pity that in the Western world we do tend to separate them a bit too much, you know, whereas in fact they merge so much together.
So you think we lack a holistic sort of approach to things that I guess the East has more of? And I've certainly found that from my experience since I've sort of being with Kyung, where her way of looking at things is quite different from our in the West, and so it is more of a wholeness to things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Pin the blame on René Descartes.
Blame on what? I missed that.
Descartes. René Descartes.
Ah, Descartes.
The guy who in the 17th century made a big distinction between the mental and the physical in France. It's still very influenced today.
It's kind of a seminal moment which diverged the West from the East, I think, to a large extent, that just that one set of ideas that he wrote down. I mean, in a way, it had the salutary effect of allowing the West to move forward with science, which for a while was seen as competing with the church, and Descartes came in and said, okay, well, the church will be the province of the spirit and science will be the province of the physical world. But of course that then set up this dichotomy which persists even now, I think, even though mind and body are now being seen to be more interconnected, even in Western science and so forth, the kind of intuitive divide remains, I think, in Western civilization.
Yes, it does to a great extent, because basically, you know, science still doesn't explain so much about consciousness. So people tend to have that desire to put an explanation on something and just label it the mental.
Although I think to some extent, at least in my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, that people often get into the sort of notion that science is about a certain view of the mind, then there's the spiritual view. But I tend to think of that as still a kind of what's the word for it? A remnant of the Cartesian bargain, you know, where we tend to think of science as having a certain view of the mind, but in fact, science, in a larger, at least in my opinion, science in a larger context, it should just be about a sort of empirical investigation of reality, and it doesn't have to be about a specific way of thinking about the mind or about the nature of the relationship between mind and body or anything. That's kind of that's sort of a holdover from the Cartesian period.
Although don't forget that science in itself is always evolving. I mean, what bugs me is that there are quite a few people who take science to be the god of today, you know? Everything must be scientific. And that's the wrong approach, I think, or at least it is the wrong approach with present scientific types of investigation or methods or what.
Well, the thing is that, I studied physics when I was in college, and if you actually, the funny thing is, what people think science says is one thing, and people sort of think, well, it means this certain view, the world is a certain way and it has a certain objective quality and so forth. But if you actually study physics, for example, especially in the last 100 years or so, it's become increasingly bizarre. And there's a huge, huge area of mystery which was uncovered starting in the 20s and 30s mm-hmm. as people mm-hmm. are maybe aware of in quantum mechanics, in which there's an unresolved fundamental problem where it appears that the mind has some sort of direct involvement in reality, and that you can't separate them out in a simple way. There have been a variety of attempts to do it, but so far the problem's not been solved. And I actually think that if my opinion is that that problem is going to eventually get rid of the boundary that currently exists between what people call science and other ways of investigating the world, because that problem is actually, I think, a hint at the end of the sort of objective, separated, you know, materialist or simple materialist viewpoint about the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ah, STEM is online as well.
Right. So, I just had to add him on the list.
Okay, so he's not online as well?
No, he's, I think, visiting Princeton.
Okay. Well, Tim, right, you are the guy who was speaking.
Yes, me.
Have you seen... you think, therefore you are.
maybe I am, but therefore I think.
Have you seen that movie on YouTube, which is called, what's it called? What the Bleep? Something like that. Who the Bleep Are We, or What the Bleep? Something to do with bleep anyway, and it's all about quantum physics in a very, very simple way, also bringing in a couple of scenes from the movie Matrix. And it's very interesting, you know, the way it presents quantum physics in a very, very simple way. And the mysteries which emerge and the way in which it is becoming a sort of a new way of doing science. What the Bleep Do We Know? That's what it's called. If you look it up on YouTube, it's in about 15 parts. They're in about 10-minute chunks, and it's worth, you know, browsing through. I found it very interesting, very professionally done. What the Bleep Do We Know?
No, I can't say I have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen that film. It was in the theaters for a while here.
Was it?
Yeah, in the U.S. at least.
Okay,
Can you type the exact name?
What? Okay, of course, sorry. Okay. A very simple explanation, as I said, done in a very professional way of quantum physics and some of the mysteries which emerge from what we know so far through quantum physics. Well worth watching if you have the time.
Okay. That must have been, I don't quite know all the discussions that go in this group, but I've sort of done a bit of reading into more, I guess my thing is more into cosmology and that sort of things, but only on an amateur sort of level, of course. I think too serious.
Our conversations tend to flow in all sorts of directions. I think many of us find it rather difficult, unless somebody is around like Stim or in some other context, Perma, who keep us on track. You know, then it's a bit like having a senior person who facilitates the conversation in one particular direction. But when left on our own, we do tend to diverge and move from one topic to another. Perhaps we need a bit more discipline as well, or perhaps we need topics to stick to, or maybe some sort of spontaneous leadership to emerge.
Well, I take it you are going to take the lead, Arabella.
No. To tell you the truth, Gay, I've been so busy with work these past couple of weeks. I was on the verge of emailing you and telling you, listen, I really am very sorry, but I don't have time and I can't come on this anymore. But tonight I was so tired, I couldn't continue with my work, so I said, no, would be nice to go online a bit.
You got new students, you told at least 2 weeks ago.
Yes. We started on the 5th with the new academic year. And it's been really mad and hectic and problems and whatnot. Anyway, I have to think positive. It'll be over soon.
Well, having a break is always a good thing, and often you find, I guess, you work better afterwards.
You work better after what?
After having a break from, you know, to take the mind off a task and move it elsewhere.
Yes.
It's often the best
true.
Way to move forwards on things.
Yes, definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah. But what happens with me is that, I mean, at the moment it's nearly midnight over here, and
yes, it's almost time to wrap up.
3 minutes to midnight, and my brain tends to work better at night. So if I really need to focus on something, it tends to work better this time of the night, which is a bit weird, really.
Yes, well, I always find that 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock is a great time to do stuff before.
It certainly is, especially if you don't have a commitment the next morning.
I don't think this is a bad session as such. I mean, sometimes, you know, we do ramble on to different things and, you know, something new, you know, inspiration may come through.
No, I thought there were some interesting points brought up today, and I, you know, I'm always surprised at that, particularly the first 30 minutes were technical glitches, and it seems to me like there were some interesting points that did arise.
I just want to suggest that we have a break on Sunday, because we already kind of, at the moment, having an open discussion. So, what do you guys think?
I'm traveling on Sunday.
Okay, so me can make it, so it might work out okay then, to have a break.
Yes. Good idea.
Good night, everybody.
Great. Thank you very much, everyone.
Good night.
Okay,
good night.
Good
Thank
night.
Thank you.
Night.